Welcome to Dance Specific Talks. This podcast is made for us dancers, and our goal here is to inspire dancers from all over the world to become better, both on and off the dance floor. We want to provide you with a platform where we dancers can share and learn from each other. So let me introduce to you your host for this podcast, T-Sir, and remember as always, by dancers, for dancers.
What's up, party people, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite dance podcast, Dance Specific Talks. I'm your host, T-Sir, and this episode is, of course, released from Be Fit and Sensual.
In this week's episode, we are traveling all the way to Amsterdam in the Netherlands as we are meeting no one else than the synchronized swimmer, Eliane.
So what do you need to know about synchronized swimming? Well, it is a sport, but it's also dancing because they're doing counts, routines, formation, and they're doing everything to music. And we are going to ask Eliane from the Netherlands all about it. But first, you already know what to do. Go in and follow Dance Specific Talks, Be Fit and Sensual, so that you can get your dance specific training on right now. And don't forget, we are on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, and also on YouTube and Facebook. Don't forget, when you subscribe, share your favorite episode, we can grow. And you can also send in your favorite dancer so we can interview them. And now, let's get it going. Oh, welcome to this interview, Eliane!
Thank you.
You are currently in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. Is this where you were born and raised?
No, I was born in Amersfoort, near to Utrecht, but I live in Amsterdam for almost 4 years now.
Yeah, I loved to work with you. Last summer, we were in a project together for the Amsterdam's University for the Arts or the Academy for the Theaters, and I got to know that you are a synchronized swimmer, and I had a tons of questions. And when I started this podcast, I just knew that I would love to have you on just to explain, you know, what is synchronized swimming and how did you get into that?
Yeah. So I got into it when I was 8 years old. So it's almost 18 years later now. And I was doing ballet and swimming. And then in school, we had a program to try out some sports, and I was quitting ballet, and I really enjoyed the swimming. So actually, my mom said, just try synchronized swimming and see if you like it. And then I just never quit.
Wow. And like, for people who don't really know what synchronized swimming, how would you explain what it is?
It's almost dancing in the water. So you have a routine in the water on music with a team, and there are a lot of elements. So you need the routine, you need power, strength, flexibility, coordination, everything. Yeah, so everything comes together and you have a routine on the music.
Wow. And just to paint like the picture, so how would your, since you were eight, you've been doing this, how has your training been looking like? For a dancer, it's usually you go to a dance studio, or if you're a battle, you go to battles a lot. How does your training look like and have been looking like for the last 18 years of your life?
When you start synchronized swimming, you usually start at one or two times a week, and you're trying stuff in the water. The most things are like coordination and just counting on music and just swim. So for example, breaststroke on counts, and then you have a lot of technical elements, and it's in all different kind of age divisions. So it builds. You have to work on your flexibility a lot when you're younger, and when you get older, you're in different types of competitions and your training program.
Have you been competing a lot as solo or mostly in group?
Mostly in group. So most of the girls are doing groups, and when you're a little bit better, then you're going to do a duet or solo.
All right. And you explained to me this summer when I asked you like that, there is, you know, the dry land training and then there is in the water training. What's the differences there? What do you train up above land and in the water?
Actually, we have two types of land training. So we call it land training and dry training. And land training is more strength, so build some muscles, and also flexibility. And dry training is try your routine, but then not in the water. So you use your arms to try out your routine and use your counts and your music. So there's two types.
Yeah, when you are in the water, you use the most that are shown is like either arms or legs. So when you are actually doing the land training, you have to with your arms.
Yeah.
And that you have legs upwards.
Is that exactly.
is that how I explain it the best? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And you have to train dancing, choreo, flexibility, strength. How different is it to do it on land compared to in the water? What is the biggest difference?
The biggest difference is there's no zwaartekracht.
Is it the gravity? You are like you're fighting the gravity of the water, basically.
Yeah.
It's way heavier, I can imagine.
Yeah. And for example, when you do a split on land, you have your own body weight to push you down. And for example, when you do it in the water, you have to be upside down and you have to use your muscles to put your splits like bigger. So that's different. And also, when your legs are out of the water, you use your arms to be out of the water and the other way around. So when your arms are out of the water, you use your legs to be up.
So it's like constant. Something just have to keep moving you upwards to float and be on the same level as the other girls. And wow.
Yeah, and that's one thing you are practicing a lot when you're very younger. You start with, we call it sculling, and it's a way of push your body up. So for example, when you lay down on your back, you're sculling under your hips because that's the heaviest point. But when you're upside down in a vertical position, you're having your arms like in a 90 degrees position, and then it keeps you up.
And how do you know what the counts are? Because like music is blasting above the water, but how do you actually hear it underneath?
Yeah, it's also underwater. So the music is also playing underwater, and also we just have to count. I think it's the same with dancing. We count mostly till 8. Sometimes it's a bit different, but mostly till 8. And then every movement or every position is on a count. So if you don't hear the music, you just have to keep counting, and because you're doing it so many times, you know the music and it's in your body.
Wow, that's a lot. Like suddenly you maybe don't hear the music and you just have to trust that. And also there must be a lot of bubbles going around down underwater, so you can't really see each other all the time either. How do you make sure like that you are on the right distance, informations and everything?
Yeah, you hope that there are not too many bubbles, but you have to look to your teammates. Yeah.
Right. And when it comes to wears, like you have a swimming suit and you can have like glasses. Do you tie up your hair, or do you have these bathing hats on, or how does it look like?
When we have practice, we just wear a swimsuit and a swimming cap and goggles. But when we have a competition, we put our hair in a bun and we put a gelatin in our hair. So it's really tied to the back and it sticks in the water, and we don't wear goggles at competition. So we have makeup on and just look pretty.
Wow, that must be such a good waterproof makeup in order for it to stay.
But there are a lot of tricks you can use to keep your makeup on.
What's the tricks? Do you do hairspray in your face to keep it on, or
no? For example, you can wet your brush and then just put it on, and then it sticks. Wow. As long as you don't
rub it in your face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you have to design and sew your own swimming suits for the competitions.
Yeah. Example, when we start a new number, we also most of the time get new swimsuits, and then we were thinking about what is nice, or we have people who are really good at that. And for example, we have one coach, she makes the swimsuits herself, and then we just thinking about it and get some ideas. And then
because if I understand it right, this is quite important. Like you also get scores on how you guys are looking like, not only how you perform, or
It's the whole package, actually. So you get scores on technical, on difficulty, and on artistic. So, yeah, that's also...
So the technical is like that you're on sync and that you have like some really hard moves in this show. Yeah,
yeah, and it's, for example, it's how high you're out of the water or how straight your legs are, or you have different types of routines. So you have a technical routine and a free routine. And in the technical routine, you have technical elements everyone has to do. They're all the same. And you have to include them in your routine. And then they really look like if it's synchronized, but also if it's really high or straight, everything has to be perfect.
Wow. And how do you actually get people up the water? How do you use that? What kind of technique are you using to push people up?
When we do a lift, you mean?
Yeah.
So there are also different types of doing a lift, but you're building a formation underwater. And then, for example, a pyramid kind of thing. And then there's always one girl in the middle. She has to be really powerful, and there's one girl on top, and everyone else has a foot or a leg or a back or something, and then you're just pushing. So you use your legs, like really I always do it with my hands, but your legs are, it's called egg beating, and then you're,
it's like really paddling. Okay. And you told me that there was a rule that you actually cannot touch the bottom. Is that correct?
Yes, you cannot touch, because then you're disqualified.
So how do they film underwater?
No, but you can see it if you're on the bottom of the pool. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What other rules are like, no, you cannot do this? It's more than not touching the bottom.
You cannot touch the bottom. You cannot stop. So when you're, for example, you have a blackout in the routine, you have to be underwater, because when you're above the water and you're more than 10 seconds, I guess, out, and you're doing nothing, then you're also disqualified. And when you start the routine, you have, I think, 30 seconds to make your way to the stage and stand in your position, your starting position. And then you have 10 seconds and you need to be in the water. And so there are a lot of rules. And for example, when you have the technical competition, so there are also two types of competitions. And in the beginning of the season, you have the technical competitions, and that's those you're doing by yourself. So every girl has to, or boy, everyone has to get a score. For example, you have to get 55 points at your individual competition, and then you're qualifying for doing your team. Mm. So when you're in a technical competition, you all have to wear a black swimsuit and a white swim cap, because they say it's because they cannot see different between the girls and everyone is equal. But
yeah, okay, it's like so.
Yeah, but those are the rules. Yeah.
So that's how you start the season. You all have to kind of qualify to get into the group every year. Is that every year?
Yeah, every year.
Oh wow! You must have done that so many times.
Yeah.
And then once you get in, you get back with the girls, you start the training, and what is the name, or like how different is the next competition then?
The next competition is the competition with the routines. So in a technical competition, you're doing it by yourself and you're only doing technical elements, and the other competitions are on music. So you're doing your routine. Mm. And then in that competition, you have the two types of routines, and then you have the technical and the free routine.
Okay. And is it like, do they have to, how long are you actually in the water? Like how long is a choreo that you have to perform with?
It's about three or four minutes.
So you're constantly moving for three. Yeah. Wow. So when it comes to like extra training that you have to do in order for your body to be able to do that, do you train more explosive training or like endurance, or how does your extra training look like outside?
Outside the water, it's mostly to get stronger. So we also do push-ups and burpees and squats and everything like that. But also we do a lot with our own body weight. So you have to be, I think it's because of you have to be really quick in the water. When you're too muscled, I think it's you get a little slower, but I'm not sure. But I think that's the reason. And I think it's always good to keep your condition really good. So I also run and swim just for lanes, doing lanes. But
And how long do you have to keep your breath? I mean, because you are in this, you have to go down on the water, you have to create these pyramids and then push people up. Like, you must be able to be underwater for a certain amount of time. Do you have like, do you train breath work, or like, how does that work?
No, actually not. Everyone is asking me that, but I really don't know how long I can be underwater. But I think the difficulty is that you have to hold your breath while you're doing crazy stuff with your legs and get really tired. So I think that's the part that gets really hard for your body. And that's just doing it a lot. So we're doing a lot of, for example, core exercises, but we're doing it in the water and then underwater. So you have to hold your breath and also keep your legs up. So you train your arm muscles, for example, by sculling, or we have weights on our ankles or on our wrists to have some more weights. But yeah, we're doing it also underwater. So you have to hold it and then you train it. But
wow. It sounds like very physically challenging. Like, I think a lot of people, maybe they just see the splits and the legs and the swirls, and then you don't understand how heavy it is.
Yeah.
My mom used to be a professional swimmer, and she started to have a lot of pain in her shoulders when she got older because she used to do the butterfly swims and everything. What kind of injuries or like pain do synchronized swimmers get from being so active in this sport?
I think a lot of knee problems, because we do like the egg beating. So the movement, it keeps you out of the water. It's like a circling movement with your legs and your knees.
Oh, so your knees are kind of together and then your feet are turning, or?
No, the
you're maybe it's hard to explain, but
yeah. So it's like a squat position.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, it's more, it's like this, but then
your feet are like rotating underneath.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I can see that can be very challenging for the knees. Yeah.
Yeah, but also shoulders. And I think the most we get a lot of injuries while we're doing lifts, or while we're trying to do lifts, and then the girl who is flying lands on your face or on your head. And that, or we're kicking each other a lot underwater. So that's also while the injuries come.
Of course. I mean, of course, you guys are super close. You're in all these crazy formations. So I'm sure that it happens a lot of accidents, but it looks so graceful that you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to pretend that everything.
So have you had any injuries, or have you ever felt like, you know what, I might stop this because it's too tough for my body, or any other reasons? Just keep going.
But yeah, just keep going, because I really like it. So I cannot imagine I will stop swimming. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh my God. For example, a few months ago, I just started and the season was really okay. Because of the COVID situation, we had to stop and then we can go back to the pool. And I was really motivated to be back. And then my teammate landed on my face and I had two black eyes.
Aww.
And my nose was like really big, and then I was like, oh shit. Why? But yeah, a week later I had a competition and I was like, yeah, I don't care. We have to go.
Wow. And yeah, so what is it that you love about it, you know, like what is it that it makes you feel that nothing else makes you feel?
I think that everything comes together. So it's really, really hard, but so you have to work really hard, but it's also really nice that it's in the water. And I really like, it sounds quite strange, I guess, but It's really nice to be underwater and then upside down underwater, because underwater there's no noise and it's, I don't know, it's just a feeling. And also what I really like when I'm quite busy with school or work or everything, while I'm doing this, I have to count and only have to count and focus on my movements, and then I cannot think about anything else. So that's what I really also really like.
Yeah, it's really forcing you to be in a moment, because not only, you know, you need to keep alive, hold your breath, do this, but also that there's a lot of other people counting on you to just be in the moment. Can you, do you have any funny stories of when it didn't go so well, except your teammate landing? You have blue eyes.
It's a hard question.
Or it could also be, do you have any particular memory that is super strong from one of your competitions? Something that really is like unforgettable moment from one of your competitions?
Yeah, I had one unforgettable moment. When I started synchronized swimming, I started in Amersfoort, where I used to live. And then I came to Amsterdam and I started here. And this team was for me a big challenge to be a part of. And then they said, okay, we're trying to get first place at nationals. And I was like, okay, that's new for me. And well, I was at the competition and we just did our routine, and I did my last movement and I came out of the water, above the water, and the audience was going crazy. And I was like, what? This is amazing. And I think that moment was unforgettable, because I was giving my all and I was really, really, really tired. But the audience, yeah, it was amazing. And then we became national champion. So that was really, really cool for me.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So you and your team became national champions. And yeah. How does it look like then? How does it change then? Where do you go after that?
Nothing. You go home and there's nothing.
And the team, like, doesn't mean that you have to now compete on like against other countries?
No, because synchronized swimming in the Netherlands is really small. So you only go to the European or the Olympics, for example, when you're in the Dutch national team. But there's no Dutch national team. There's only a duet and there's nothing. But last year I joined the Masters competition, and that's another division actually. And then that was last year, January. And then we became Dutch national champion. And then we planned to go to the Europeans. But of course, of the COVID situation, it was postponed.
That's so sad to hear. Well, I hope you get a chance to do it
another
time. Is that one of the biggest dreams you have? Or what is one of your biggest dreams with doing synchronized swimming?
When I was younger, I wanted to be in the national team, but now I just do it for fun. And it's not that I can do it for fun like once a week or twice a week, so I have to give it my all, and I want to get the best out of it with my team. But more than that, it's just not possible in the Netherlands. No, but what I really, but it, that's more with my background with my study. I really like to like the, for example, the Cirque du Soleil, and they also have the synchronized swimming part, as they have one show with a lot of synchronized swimmers in it. And something like that, I really want to
do like a big performance.
Because I think it's also really a cool art form.
For sure. And can you tell us about something that you have done outside the competitions? You actually get booked sometimes for gigs as the swimmer troupe that you are. Like, what kind of gigs are there? Do you also have something memorable from one of your gigs that you've been doing?
Yeah, we did a lot of release. We did a release for some jewelry watch thing. And we also did at the festival, we swam in the
in the canal.
Yeah, but also like the anniversary from the Aqua Chalk group from the Amstel Hotel. So a lot of things. But actually, my teammates did a video clip from a singer group performance thing.
Like a music video or something.
Yeah,
like
music
that.
Video. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, there are so many artistic potentials with synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
Like you could actually have that in you know, in other places than just in the swimming halls, because in every hotel almost there is a pool.
Yeah.
And if you could create some kind of festival or like performance and have lights, and I think it could be wonderful to see it also if you could see it from looking into the water with like a screen or something, so you could actually see what's going on underneath. Yeah,
yeah.
I see a lot of potentials here.
Yeah.
Artistically.
Yeah, I also, for example, did the film. It's already, I think, almost 2 years, 1.5 years ago. And it was about the competition between girls. So not in a sport, but also outside within friend groups or something. And they used the synchronized swimming as a metaphor. So it's beautiful above the water, but underwater it's hard work and also a lot of kicking. And I was asked to help them with the film. Yeah, that's also really, I think, a really beautiful way to show.
Yeah, so cool, so cool. What have been, you know, when I'm just thinking about all your experience combined, why would you say anyone else would do synchronized swimming? Like, what are you, like, when, you know, you maybe see kids or something that ask you about this, why would they do synchronized swimming, do you think?
Why other girls are doing it, or why they should do it?
Why they should. So if you would teach a group of young new swimmers, why would they start with synchronized swimming?
I think if you like music and also dancing and the way of express yourself in a sport, but also in, yeah, way of art. Yeah. And it, what I really like is that it combines everything. And I think a lot of girls are also really, but I think it starts, a lot of girls start with ballet, and then when they are like 10 or 12 years old, they're quitting because, yeah, they don't, or they are not good enough to grow further. Or, and I think synchronized swimming is challenging in so many ways. Yeah, I think you should do it when you like to perform, but also work really hard. Yeah.
And what is something you wished more people knew about synchronized swimming?
That it's a sport. Or you have to train like an athlete, and not just, it's not in like in the movies, they jump in the water with a really colorful swim cap on and just be in the pool like super happy, but it's actually hard work. I think that's the biggest misunderstanding.
Yeah. And now when you prepare yourself for example, going into a performance or a competition, how do you mentally prepare for that? Because you have trained, you know your choreo, you know your counts. So how do you train mentally, and what happens with you right before you enter the water before a performance?
I prepare myself to be with myself and just going through the routine in my head a lot. And I also tell myself, okay, you can do this, you're not drowning, or it's okay. Because there's always a, for example, when the coach say okay, we're doing our full routine now, everyone is freaking out, no, we cannot do the full routine and it's too hard. And it's, that's the mental part of synchronized swimming. You're just dying halfway the routine, you're dying, and you have to get through it. So that's one thing I always tell myself, okay, I will make it to the end. And when I right before we start, I think it's a mental thing for myself, but I always say it to my teammates, okay, we can do this. I have to say something to my team. Yeah, and then just switch and go. Yeah, after all the training, when you're at the competition, it's 90% mental.
Wow.
But I think it's the same for dancers. You're nervous and you're, I don't know, freaking out. But when you have to go on the stage, you just have to go. And
Yeah. Wow. And do you have any particular like favorite synchronized swimmers out there? And why are they your favorites?
Yeah, I really like Gemma Mengual. She's a Spanish swimmer and she's really expressive. So I really like that. She's also technical, really good, but I like the expressions and the passion actually she puts in her routines. Yeah. I think she's crazy.
Yeah, because that's maybe also something that a lot of people maybe don't see is the artistic, the expressions, the emotions that can be shown. Because when I think about swimming, all I see is paddle this, paddle that, and straight legs or, you know, but when you started showing me videos of how these solo dancers can actually have their own storytelling and their own song, yeah. And it becomes like a whole other thing. It's really dancing, but in water.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was super beautiful. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this. You know, in the end of my interviews, I always have something I call fill in the blanks. It's basically I start a sentence and you finish it with one word or a sentence of your choice. Yeah?
Okay.
So, for example, synchronized swimming makes me feel
free and alive.
There you go. Beautiful. When I want to motivate my team, I always say,
we got this. We go for a win.
And we're not dying. That's great.
And we're not dying. Yeah, there's one thing we always say to each other. It started, that's actually a funny thing. When we were practicing for nationals, we had a yell kind of thing. And we said, what are we going to do? Winning. And that was the thing. But in the water, when you're practicing, the coach says, we're going to do this, or, and then a girl was asking, what are we going to do? And everyone was like, winning. And it's just a thing in every practice we keep saying. So when someone is asking, what are we going to do? Then everyone says, winning.
Oh, that's beautiful. Just affirmations, manifest. You know, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. I envision synchronized swimming in the future to be. If you could dream big with synchronized swimming, how would it look like?
For myself or just in the world?
Both.
Yeah, I just hope that synchronized swimming in the Netherlands will be bigger. So will be known more. And yeah, gets a little more respect.
Yeah, but also more possibilities, I guess, as well to make it bigger. Yeah, beautiful. All right. Well, in the end of my interviews, I'm always giving the microphone to my guest. If we want to check out your group, where do we go? Is there any social medias or websites or anything? And is there anyone you want to love bomb? You're also free to do it. The microphone is yours.
Okay. When you want to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Dolphin Synchron Swimmer.
The Dolphins?
The Dolphin, yeah.
All right. Okay, perfect. And this has been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your information. And I feel at least that I've learned a lot of new things about this sport that I've never been talking about before. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Don't forget to click subscribe, comment below, and give us a rating or review. We have a Facebook page, YouTube page, and we are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and all the other podcast platforms. We also have an Instagram, so don't forget to tag us in your favorite episode and share it with the world, because we read all of it.